We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Good morning, Diarrhea!
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7, The Game.
Come on!
What a wild day in sports yesterday and last night. It was all over. So I had this idea. I'm just going to give you a little insight into my plan for the day, all right? My sports watching plan for the day. So I was going to get home. I was going to take a nap because you need a nap when you're waking up this early. And if you are, you just happen to be on your way home or on your way to work, shout out to you. It's 5 a.m. in the morning. It's tough. Not an easy time. But I wanted to get home, take a nap, wake up right before 3:30, maybe watch the pregame for the Blazers and the Mavs, which is a game I was really looking forward to. Was expecting to see the Celtics put a hurting on the Grizzlies, which they did, because the Celtics have been one of the better offensive teams in the bubble. And actually, as a matter of fact, the best offensive team in the bubble, the most efficient. And they were doing that. So I woke up and I said, okay, cool. We got the Blazers. We got the Mavs. This is going to be interesting. Also, when I got home, I decided, you know what? It's the first day of playoff hockey, NHL round one. Maybe I'll watch a little Columbus Blue Jackets and Tampa Bay Lightning. Oh, I'll watch a little bit of that. Might fall asleep to it, which I did in the second period. And if I'm not mistaken, when I was about to fall asleep, the Lightning had gone up 2-1. And I woke up from my nap, and it had been a while. And it was overtime. I said, okay, I'm going to keep watching that. And then on my laptop, I'm going to put the Blazers and the Mavs on. And then after the Blazers-Mavs, watched a little Giants starting at 6, watched a little A's, boom, we're set with the schedule. And this game, I just have to give it, I'm going to get to the Giants and their win, because it was not necessarily a big win. It wasn't a must-win game, but it's just, I think it kind of... It represents what makes this Giants team at least watchable this year, and I'll get to that in a little bit. But I just couldn't get over the fact that this hockey game was going into not only 3-OT, not only 4-OT, the first game of the series, but 5-OT. And it was the fifth team that's done that in the history of hockey. And these players, it was like watching, it reminded me of Miracle. When Herb Brooks was just kept going again, kept making him do the suicide drills or whatever, it reminded me of that. And I was watching it. I've never been in so much pain watching a game in my life, because you can only imagine what it was like when they were going up and down every time the puck was on the opposite side and they're trying to save icing. Ah, my legs. Ah, it was amazing. But in the end, 5 overtimes. It was tied 2-2. And this was the game winner.
Keeps it in for Kucherov. Right circle shot blocked. Rebound Sergachev. Right circle. Kucherov shoots. Blocked. Point high slot.
Shoot! Score! 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 Brayden Point! The Lightning win it! They win it in the fifth overtime! 3-2! And they lead the series 1-0. That's all he did was turn and fired it from outside the circle.
It was unbelievable. Credit NBC for that audio. But it was the, it was the longest NHL playoff game since Keith Primo's winner in fourth overtime against the Penguins in May 2000. Jonas Korpisalo finished with 85 saves. That's the highest single game total since 1955 and 1956 when shots on goal were officially tracked. And by the way, he was on the losing team, which is that just sounds like the worst. I couldn't imagine being in that position, working that hard. And you got to be proud for what you did. But in the end, you still did lose the game. But I highly recommend anyone look up the box score and just go down the minutes for every single one of these guys. Go down the minutes of ice time for every single one. You'll be astounded. It's like if a basketball player played for 90 minutes on the floor, or a baseball player played for 21 innings. That's not even the equivalent. That's just kind of me spitballing. It's insane, that game that happened yesterday. I just wanted to give a shout out, but in the end, Tampa Bay Lightning 1-3-2, and we're on to game two today. It's like, anyway, I just had to get that out the way because I was watching that and I was just in awe the entire time. And of course, you had Dame Lillard just going off against the Mavs. It was getting chippy toward the end. Dame Lillard with 61 points. He's up there in the record books with Wilt Chamberlain with back-to-back 60-point games, or the 2 out of 3 with 60-point games. There's so much to get to today. I'm kind of going a little quick. Good morning, everybody, and welcome in. 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line, as well as the phone number. Now, yesterday in the Giants game, they got down pretty early. And it felt like this was just another one of those, oh man, they gave up 3 runs early. I don't know if they could come back. Now they've been up 4. Oh man. And it's 4-1. Okay. All right, they got one. That's cool. Let's see if they can actually come back. And then, you know, a little later on in the game, you had Tyler Anderson going out there in his last start against the Rockies. He was terrific. He was lights out. And the main focus of that game was when Gabe Kapler took Tyler Anderson out too early, and he was at 66 pitches, and they didn't want to take him out at that time, or they wanted to take him out at that time. They were told he was going to be on a pitch limit. But this game was a little different, as Tyler Anderson gave up 5 hits on 4, gave up 4 on runs on 5 hits, only striking out 2, walking 3, and that's in 5 innings of work. And then coming in right after was Rico Garcia, who gave up 2 earned runs of his own. And the rest of the way, this has been the issue with the Giants, is that they've been putting in their relievers and working them so hard that eventually, I mean, these dudes, they end up getting tired. And Wandy Peralta, Sean Anderson, and Trevor Gott all came in, and Tyler Rogers ended up getting the save. I don't know if Kapler planned that out that way. I don't know if he planned for Tyler Rogers to come in and get the save. I think he wanted to give Rogers a day off. But that was the case because of one, Hunter Pence.
Pence goes the other way, hit pretty well. It is out of here. Pence goes the other way, and we got a ball game.
Now, it was 6-2 at this time, and Alex Dickerson was in the lineup. Hunter Pence was on the bench. Alex Dickerson already had 2 hits on the game, and he also had an RBI, too. So it's not like Alex Dickerson was having a bad game, but he put in Hunter Pence in the 7th, and he comes through with 2 runners on. Credit to NBC Sports Bay Area for that audio. And that proved to be one of the bigger hits in the game, as it went to 6-5 in the 7th inning. And you thought, okay, something's cooking now. Something's cooking. When Hunter Pence hits a 3-run home run, that just gets the bench worked up. That gets them going, because they love Hunter Pence. Everyone loves Hunter Pence. It's kind of the same with Pablo Sandoval when he gets a clutch hit. You know, that's the type of thing that gets the dugout motivated to really start to win this game. And that's something you didn't see much of last year. But as the game rolled on, there wasn't another run scored in the 8th. So there were no runs on the board. It was 6-5 going into the 8th. And then Darren Ruff in the top of the 9th does this.
Get on the ground and a base hit. And this game is tied.
off the bat, it looked like, well, is it a hit or is it going to be a double play to end the game?
Outhouse or castle? There was no in between there. It finds a hole, and we got a brand new ball game.
And one other thing, and credits NBC Sports Bay Area, one other thing that was just, that's kind of a sidetrack of this game, but Mauricio Dubon, he wasn't playing too well, and he had some moments where he could have come through, but with no fans, you could hear everything that Dubon was saying at the plate when, out of frustration. There were a lot of swear words coming out of Dubon every time he would pop one up or whatever. And it was just, that's just something that I kind of thought of. But Darren Ruff tied the game in the ninth, and we know about this new rule. And genuinely, I'm not even saying this because of what happened last night and the advantage it gave them. But this new rule of putting a runner on second in extra innings, I kind of like it. I kind of like it. It adds some intrigue to the game. And the primary reason why is, you know, you'd think, oh, it gives the team at the top of the inning more of an advantage just because they can score a run right off the top. Well, each team, you know, gets a fair chance. And I think, I mean, yesterday it made it tough. It made it a little torturous watching Tyler Rogers and him in the 10th almost, I mean, put a runner on third right away. I mean, it was a little scary to watch, but I do think it adds some intrigue when you're watching into extra innings, or else you're going to have, you know, like the Lightnings and the Blue Jackets game where you're going into fifth OT. But this guy's been hitting a lot better lately, and his name is Brandon Crawford, and he gave him the lead in the 10th.
Up the middle and a base hit. Coming in to score is Flores. The Giants take the lead. Moving down to second goes Slater. Crawford with the RBI single.
Boy, another good two-strike at bat.
And another thing you heard in that clip was that Slater goes to second. And don't look now, but Slater, he's on a little bit of a streak right now. He's got six hits ever since the last game against Colorado on August 6th, and he's got three home runs since then. He's seeing the ball extremely well right now. And Gabe Kapler, he spoke after the game and talked about not only Austin Slater, but Hunter Pence as well. Take a listen.
So I mentioned this yesterday about Slater and the training he's been doing on the field that's been leading to the results that he's been having, and how cool it is to see that the fruits of his labor show up. But Hunter was training the same way today on the field, and I just think it's worth noting he's been training hard, and to see that swing show up at just the right time, it's really rewarding. For his teammates, for all of us, and I'm sure pretty rewarding for Hunter as well, who's training for that moment and did a nice job.
And it's good to see that because, look, out of all the mess that people talk about Hunter Pence, it's never about him personally. You know, you may not like it when Kapler puts him in cleanup. You may not, I mean, when he was going 0 for 21 and he's still batting cleanup, you may not like the decision to do that. But it doesn't mean that you're trying to slight his personality. And Hunter Pence, I think, if you hear him just talk about really anything, whether it was him making the All-Star game last year in Texas and not being able to participate due to injury, I highly recommend you look up the video for that if you haven't seen it already and see what his thoughts are. He's all about, you know, his mindset and perspective, and he's one of the more positive players I think that I've seen in Major League Baseball. And when he does something like this, it's just good to see. It really is. And another thing that was good to see, this didn't result in the run, but after that Crawford single, there was a sack bunt. Tyler Heineman putting it down. Runners on second and third. They didn't get a run out of it, but still, a sack bunt. First of the season. Let's go Giants. Stephen Langford, 95.7 The Game. All that's coming up. I'm going to continue to talk about this game, what happened in sports yesterday, plus something I mentioned all my sports watching schedule from yesterday. I mentioned that entire thing, and there's something that I completely forgot about until I saw a video of it on Twitter. I'll tell you what that is next. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
Stephen Langford in on the pregame show. 95.7 the game. 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line, as well as the phone number. This is from the 209. This is from Ken in Fremont. Is it weird that I have Bill Goldberg entrance into my car as Rage Against the Machine hits? It gets me going. No, it's not weird, Ken. You do you. One thing that's not smart, I guess is the word I can use. One thing that's not smart to do, although I do this every single time, but whenever I watch a movie involving cars and racing, when I'm on the streets, I go quick. I mean, I put the gas pedal down, and you know, it's sad because, you know, I'm not exactly driving the cars like in Fast and the Furious. I'm driving a Subaru Outback. So I'm like, you know, I go to watch like Ford versus Ferrari in the movie theater. Went to watch it on my own this year. Really good. And the entire time I'm driving home, it's like a 30-mile-an-hour speed limit. I'm driving 70 down that thing, swerving in and out of every lane. And I just kept going, come on, girl. Come on, girl. I mean, trying to be Christian Bale. Then in the end, I remember I'm in a Subaru Outback and it doesn't really work that way. Stephen Langford on the pregame show. Thank you so much for joining me. And I want to know from you right now, and I'll get to Gabe Kapler's comments on Hunter Pence. Plus, I want to take a look at the lineup for the Houston Astros when Hunter Pence was playing, because it's pretty crazy now looking back. It was pretty long ago. I want to know from you, 888-957-9570. Did you know Hard Knocks was on last night? Because I completely forgot. And I think they're doing the two LA teams this year with the Chargers and the Rams. But I've been so... like yesterday, really, I started the show off with this. But yesterday, I had the idea I was going to... Here was going to be my sports watching schedule. I was going to go home, maybe put on a hockey game. I was going to put on the hockey game, maybe fall asleep during the hockey game, and then watch the Blazers and the Mavericks, assume at that point that the Grizzlies were going to be losing to the Celtics, which they did. And then I was going to be watching Blazers-Mavs because I know what was on the line for the Blazers in that game. And Dame Lillard ends up dropping 61 points, which was insane. But I had this schedule planned out, and then I was going to watch the Giants, and I was going to watch the A's. And then I look on Twitter, and I say, wait a second, Hard Knocks is on. And I completely forgot about that. And it's weird because now I was thinking about this on the drive in, but where is the intrigue? I'll watch the first episode because I'd be interested to see how the testing works, all the players coming into training camp, what they're thinking. I'm sure it could be make for a very interesting episode inside the football world involving COVID. But after that, The thing that you look forward to the most in Hard Knocks, it's not the slow-mo of a Tyrod Taylor spiral, which all of a sudden speeds up whenever a wide receiver catches it, whenever Keenan Allen catches it. It's not that. It's not the slow-mo of the lineman pushing sleds. It's not that. It is the preseason games and how each player performs in those preseason games, seeing which players are going to, you know, get cut, which sixth, seventh rounders that get drafted, who's going to make the team, who's well-liked, who's that favorite, that Hard Knocks favorite. There's always one of those. And I'm thinking about it. There's not going to be much of that. And Liev Schreiber, what's he going to do when he's narrating? You know, at first it's going to be, you know, it's going to be interesting. You're going to hear Schreiber, you know, he's going to say the whole, like, Tyrod Taylor's now the starter on the Chargers. Justin Herbert's backing him up. Will he take his place like Baker Mayfield with the Browns when I was on Hard Knocks in 2017? We'll find out. You know, there's going to be that. But then in the third episode, by the time that comes around, what's he going to be saying? This is getting really repetitive. I'm bored. There is no preseason game to react to. I'm going to leave. It's like, I don't know what the allure is of Hard Knocks this year without any preseason games. That's just my thought. I completely forgot it was going on. I mean, I was so focused on this 5 OT game between the Blue Jackets and the Lightning, and then the Blazers and the Mavs and the Giants and then the A's. It's, you know, I just completely forgot about it, and I feel like a lot of people did. This is Kurt from Napa, Dodger fan here, and to be honest, the Giants have been more entertaining to watch this year than the Dodgers. Hurts to say, but it's true. That's an interesting one, because the way that we are watching the Giants this year, and I kind of said this at the beginning of the year when the season started, but when the Giants and the Dodgers were playing in that first four-game series, the Dodgers, if you're a Dodger fan, you have such high expectations for that lineup because they're a juggernaut of a lineup. There's no question about that. All-star lineup. But if you have these high expectations and they're not necessarily meeting them, then I could see where you might be a little bored watching it. But I do think that with the Giants, there's no expectation at all. So when they come back like they did last night and Hunter Pence does things like this.
Pence goes the other way, hit pretty well. It is out of here. Pence goes the other way, and we got a ball game.
Pinch hitting in the seventh, credit NBC Sports Bay Area for the audio. Pinch hitting in the seventh and hitting a three-run homer to put the Giants within one run. I mean, that's resilience that you haven't really seen from a Giants team in the past, at least in the past couple of years. I remember they'd be down by a crooked number. They'd be down by, you know, five runs, and you'd ultimately think, there's no chance they're coming back. They just didn't have any energy. But now Hunter Pence gave them life in that game, and all of a sudden they tie it up, then they win. And this was the way that Gabe Kapler has been working the relievers this year is something that's exciting to watch because you don't know who he's going to put in. Yesterday it felt like he was throwing out just every single arm that the Giants have except for Tony Watson. You know, he threw out Rico Garcia. He threw out Sean Anderson out there, whose hair is majestic. You threw out Trevor Gott, who's normally your closer, but you put him in when it was a tie game. You threw out Tyler Rogers there in the 10th. I don't know if he expected to play Tyler Rogers. Had Wandy Peralta, the lefty. And, you know, he was using everything in his arsenal to get it done. It's up and down watching the Giants this year, but they're watchable. And that's what matters most to me right now because, you know, a team that's kind of in a, I like this term, the deconstruction year. Shout out to JD for bringing that term to the air and remembering that Reggie McKenzie said that about the Raiders back in what, 2012, 2013. And when they're in that sort of year, you just want this team to at least be watchable because you're not watching it thinking, oh, this guy's going to be the future of the Giants. Oh, this guy is going to be the star. No. But they're giving you a product which at least keeps you at the TV every night and doesn't have you tuned out by the third inning. That's really all I can ask for right now. And Kurt, shout out to you, man. I mean, if you're a Dodger fan and you could admit that, it takes a big heart. It takes a lot of courage to do that. Gabe Kapler, though, he spoke after the game and talked about Pence's training as well as Austin Slater, who's been hitting the ball very well right now. But here's Gabe Kapler after the game talking about Hunter Pence.
I think partially because of the work. Like, I think one of the things that, well, I think there's two things that we lean on when we're evaluating players, but hitters in particular. It's track record. Hunter has a track record of being a productive major league hitter, and last year was that reinforced his track record. And then the work is consistent every single day. The energy is consistent every single day. Like I mentioned, like he was specifically training for that pitch today off the basketball machine. And he challenges himself every single day that he comes to the ballpark with his teammates, but also, you know, between the lines. So I have faith in the track record. I have faith in the person. I have faith in the process with Hunter.
I mean, it wasn't the prettiest hit of all time. He has that stance where he steps. He doesn't really necessarily step forward. He kind of steps outside of his stance and kind of keeps it a little more open. And when he gets the barrel on the ball, though, and he goes inside out and drives it to the right field, it didn't look pretty, but it got the job done and it got them within one. It's crazy because it's Hunter Pence's former team, and you might have forgotten about that because that's where he started out. And I'm looking at his all-star season, his one all-star season with the Astros, and just looking at the lineup that he was playing with down here. I mean, Ivan Rodriguez was the catcher, Lance Berkman, Katsuo Matsui, Miguel Tejada was the shortstop, Jeff Blum, Carlos Lee was in left field. Remember Carlos Lee? Michael Bourne was the center fielder. Wow. Jeff Kepinger, Umberto Quintero, Darren Erstad. Wow. Wandy Rodriguez, Roy Oswalt, Russ Ortiz was on that team. Bud Norris. Man, you look down at that lineup when he was with the Astros, kind of shows you how long he's been in the league. I almost thought it was older. I was thinking in my head, you know, the Craig Biggio times or Morgan Ensberg, who I don't know why I always remember Morgan Ensberg, but for some reason I remember Morgan Ensberg on that Astros team. Wow. It's pretty cool having him do that. And again, I mentioned this toward the end of the last segment, but with who Hunter Pence is as a person, regardless of how he does on the field, when he does something good like this, you can't help but feel good for him. And you heard Gabe Kapler there. He was training for that specific pitch, that one fastball. Luckily, it wasn't a breaking ball, but he trained for that pitch, and he hit it to right field, put them within one, and the Giants lineup did the rest. 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line, as well as the phone number. Coming up next, I'm just going to be 100% honest, and I want to give you a little clarity, but with everything going on in college football right now, you know, I could share my thoughts on it, but ultimately I am not the biggest college football fan. I'll watch the big games and I'll watch the players who are expected to get drafted within the first round. And, you know, if I have a freed up Saturday, maybe I'll watch a couple of games, but ultimately I'm not the biggest college football fan. So I can't necessarily speak on what's going on within the college football world right now. But coming up next, you're going to hear from Larry Scott, Pac-12 commissioner. He was on with Damon Ratto and Kolsky yesterday. I'm going to replay that interview for you so you kind of get an update, because that's one of the bigger stories going on in sports right now, is what's going on within the college football world. So you're going to hear from Larry Scott next. Stephen Langford on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
Stephen Langford on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game. Thank you so much for joining me. And I'm going to get right to it here. But Pac-12 analyst, play-by-play guy, of course you hear him here on 95.7 The Game. But Roxy Bernstein was on with Damon Ratto and Kolsky yesterday. Wait, from the eight, hang on one sec. From the 831, Langford, you ever disrespect my Oakland guy, Dame Lillard? I'll go remote. What? Disrespect? How did I? When? How? What are you listening to? What? Oh, man, just use your ears. Use your ears a little bit. Disrespect. Where was I? How can you disrespect Dame Lillard for what he did last? How? I don't know. Wow, that one really got me. Wow, I read that and I just immediately just, what? You can't, it's impossible to disrespect Dame Lillard for what he's doing right now in the bubble. He's the most fun player to watch right now. He just scored 60, put it up against the Mavs. It's a big game. I couldn't believe it because it was in, 9 minutes left in the third quarter and he already had, 34 points? It was unbelievable to watch. It was great. I don't know what you're hearing. I really don't. I mean, I feel pride when I'm watching that guy. Just because watching how he handles himself, you know, and kind of growing up in the Bay Area. Love that. Disrespect. Wow. I don't know. I don't know where that came from. But Roxy Bernstein, Pac-12 play-by-play man. You hear him here on 95.7 The Game. I just wanted to play this interview for you because he gave a little clarity to what's going on within college football. And I just, for me, I can't really give you all of the, I'm not qualified to talk about what's going on because it's a very complicated and nuanced subject that's going on. And quite simply, doesn't look like college football is going to be happening, but how that came about. Listen to this interview here with Roxy Bernstein. It's really good from Damon Ratto and Kolsky yesterday.
Roxy Bernstein, ESPN, Pac-12 Networks. He does some A's, and we're talking about all that today. Good to have you on, Roxy. How are you, pal?
Well, Damon, you know, as a college football fan, this stinks, man. And I know I make my living and career calling games, and I'm in a football stadium every week, and, you know, that I'm really going to miss it. But just as a fan of the game, today it's a punch in the gut, man. This stinks.
There's no doubt. It hurts. It hurts me. I love college football. How surprised by this decision were you? Like, if I was talking to you yesterday morning and said you got $10 to bet on it happening or not happening, where would you have bet your $10?
That it wasn't going to happen. It for me, it had been trending in this direction. And I tried to remain hopeful and optimistic that we would have a season. When the schedule came out, you know, a couple of weeks ago, the revised schedule with conference games only, that got me a little bit more believing it could happen. But maybe it's not the pessimist in me, but maybe it's the realist that I never really truly believed that there was going to be a season. There were too many factors out there, whether it's liability issues, and just frankly, the health of everybody involved, that I never really was truly believing we'd have a season. I tried to remain hopeful, but in reality, I kind of knew in the back of my mind that this was going to be the reality and there more than likely was not going to be a season.
As a more practical matter, though, if they had told you today, given what you know, that they were going to play, how much of you would have felt sort of a little squeamish about that decision? I mean, I have to think at some point, well, I don't have to think, I'll just ask you, do you think not only that they did the right thing, but if they had done anything else, would you feel good about it?
I don't know if I would have felt good about it, Ray, to be honest with you. Look, Major League Baseball is trying to do this, right? And we've had the outbreak with the Marlins, and now the Cardinals are just ravaged with the virus. And then you have idiots like Plesac and Clevenger with the Indians who go out and break protocols, and now they're paying the price for it. They're on the restricted list. And I think it's even more idiotic they did it, considering their teammate Carlos Carrasco had a cancer battle not too long ago. But so these are professionals. We're talking about 18 to 22-year-old kids, and we can't put them in a bubble. It's not like we can just lock them up and then they go to practice, come back, and play the game on Saturday. They got to travel. They're mingling on campus. They're moving around. They're kids. And we all felt that we were indestructible when we were that age, right? We were in college. We thought we could do anything. And there's going to be, I think you're asking for trouble if you're to play. And I'm anxious to see what does transpire with the ACC, the SEC, and the Big 12, because I'm not convinced that they're going to play either. I know what they're saying today, but let's see what happens next week. And Greg Sankey, who's the SEC commissioner, and the Pac-12 and the Big 10 have been kind of aggressive in terms of their safety precautions and trying to get out in front of this, where the SEC was the outlier for a while, but I think that Greg Sankey's dealing with some political pressures that maybe Larry Scott and the Big 10 don't have to deal with.
Last week when we talked about this and tossed out the idea of playing some football in the spring, your thought was basically no way. Now they're saying they're going to consider it. Do you still see it as sort of impossible to pull off, or is there some version of it that makes sense?
Well, and that was addressed today, and I listened in to Larry Scott and the press conference the Pac-12 had with the administrators, for example, Michael Shills, the head of the University of Oregon, Ray Anderson, the director of athletics at Arizona State, plus they had their chief medical advisor for Oregon State on the call, and that subject was brought up to Larry Scott about playing in the spring. And look, he didn't shoot it down, but at the same time, it just didn't seem like it was practical. Then what are you going to do about the 2021 season? Are you going to push that back? How does that affect the players who want to go to the NFL, because I guarantee you there's going to be a lot of players, and I wouldn't blame them for opting out. For example, a guy like Penei Sewell, the the mammoth offensive tackle at Oregon who's going to be one of the top three picks in the NFL draft next year. And if he was to opt out, or Trevor Lawrence at Clemson to see what would happen, or Justin Fields at Ohio State, I don't know how realistic it is to have a spring football season just because of the timing of everything. If you do an abbreviated season, okay, you limit games, then maybe you can go back to a normal format of playing in September. But then you push back the 2021 season. I think there's a lot of variables right now that they're not prepared to answer.
Talking about a huge afternoon for college football with Roxy Bernstein here on 95.7 The Game. Changing gears to last night's A's-Angels game down in Anaheim. What a slugfest. It was a pinball game. And we saw a little from Matt Chapman, a little from Mike Trout. And, you know, that was a game that was just draped in two guys showing you how great they really truly are. That was fun last night.
It was fun to see the fireworks between the two, and what a night for both of those guys. And the A's probably made the mistake of pitching to Trout in a tie game late, which I think hindsight's 20/20. And if Bob Melvin kind of wanted to reconsider it, maybe he doesn't do that and give Mike Trout a chance to be the deciding factor, which he was. But it's funny, even Damon, when the A's were up 9-4, I didn't really feel that confident in that lead. I just felt there was too much baseball to be played. I've seen games in that stadium between these teams have gone this direction. It seems like the A's every year lose a game to the Angels at the Big A, like they did last night. And even when they were up 9-4, it's just you knew the high leverage pitchers in the A's bullpen were taxed, and Bob Melvin wanted to stay away from Liam Hendricks and Joaquin Soria and Jake Diekman if he could last night. And I know it was Batista that gave up the homer to Trout, but it just didn't set up well, even though the A's had the big lead.
Are you worried about Manaea?
I'd say concerned. I wouldn't say I'm worried. I think the positive thing last night for me was the velocity was there. Now, the movement hasn't been there for him so far. The velocity had been down his first couple of starts. He was up there in the low 90s last night, but he was very hittable, and he made some mistakes. Luckily, right now, the A's have a little bit of a cushion to deal with, so I think they can ride it out a little bit because their track record of Manaea, when he came back from the injury last year, how terrific he was down the stretch. He got the call in the wild card game, didn't pitch all that great, but I think they have provided themselves some time to try to turn it around because he's critical to their success. And yes, Frankie Montas right now is as good as any pitcher going in the game, the way he's pitched in the last couple of starts. Certainly the phenom that we're watching evolve in front of our eyes in Jesus Luzardo. Mike Byers goes tonight. Chris Bassett has been terrific. So it's not like A's have that many better options right now. Maybe James Caprillion, you give him a look, but I don't think he's built up to that. He was the guy that got from the Yankees in the Sonny Gray trade. Daniel Mangan's been inconsistent. So I think you have to ride it out for a little while with Manaea just to see what happens in his next couple of starts.
Could they at least maybe go with an opener or two and push him back a couple of days, or do they have the wherewithal to even skip him a turn?
I think that anything is possible, Ray, these days, right? With the opener and the way it's become kind of the fad in baseball, we saw Tampa Bay do it, and a bunch of teams have adopted it. All right, so you go with Lou Trevino for an inning or somebody like that to start, or J.B. Wendelken, and then maybe you back him up with Manaea. You could try some creative things, but I think that the unfortunate thing is for him, in his first couple of starts, he was good until the fourth inning, and then it fell apart, and it crumbled fast. For last night, he got hit hard early, and he couldn't even survive, you know, the third inning. So let's see what happens in his next couple of starts. But I think at this point, Ray, that all options are on the table for Manaea, just considering the struggles that he's had in these first three starts in this abbreviated season.
Ramon Laureano has basically been the best position player for the A's all year long. He's going to be out six games now. Other than Matt Chapman, who certainly seems to be heating up, who is the guy you expect to sort of step up and fill the void?
Well, I think the A's are still waiting for Marcus Semien to get going. He has had a rough go of it to start the year. And frankly, across the board, last night notwithstanding, the A's really, even though they had won nine straight, they really weren't hitting, and they haven't been hitting. If you look at their hit totals, they haven't been hot. It's been the home run ball. It's been the timely hit. So I think that they have the ability and the depth to overcome missing Laureano for 5-6 games, whatever it's going to be, because he's appealing the suspension. And they could slide Mark Cannon to center. Robbie Grossman can play there. So the A's have options. It's not like, okay, what are they going to do now? They're in real dire straits. Yes, he has been the best player for them. He's been clutch. He's come up with some big hits, including some home runs. But the A's have the depth to overcome it. It's just they need some of the other guys to step up. And frankly, I think the A's are waiting for Marcus Semien to get going.
Roxy Bernstein here on 95.7 The Game, a proud Cal grad, if there ever was one. Has Colin Morikawa replaced Aaron Rodgers as the greatest living Cal alum?
He's in the conversation. Can we steal a Mount Rushmore from Dibbs, you know, on this? The Mount Rushmore of Cal people right now. But how about that, the performance that he's had, and not just, you know, of course, winning the PGA Championship here, but he's been in a nice little role, and he's been playing tremendously, and he's such a likable guy. You can see the energy around him. So you have to be thrilled for his success. It's great to see Cal representing. You look across the board. You know, it always seems to revolve around Cal, right, Dan? We're just talking about Marcus Semien. I guess if there's a silver lining with the college football season being canceled, the Axe will stay in Berkeley for another year.
Looking for the silver lining. Thank you, Roxy. You're always doing it. We appreciate it. Ray, I'm sorry if I stepped on you at the end of this.
No, it's fine.
There we go.
He lost me when he started talking about Cal again.
Roxy, what do you think about college basketball? How long until we see college basketball take a cue here from college football and start tinkering with it, the beginning of its schedule?
Well, I think they're trying to tinker, at least behind the scenes, Damon, already. And it wouldn't shock me to see them try to adopt a conference-only model that starts in January. Could it be pushed back? It's possible. Maybe. But then what do you do about March Madness? Does it go into April or May? But there is, you know, they had a football study and group that was investigating the possibilities. They're doing the same thing for basketball, but I don't know. Right now, if anybody has any answer, what's going to happen just because of the latest news coming out today, and how does that affect everything else and push everything else back? But I think it's safe to say we could be looking at a model of that across the board where it's just conference games only.
Interesting. Interesting. That was Roxy Bernstein on with Damon Radwan-Kolsky. You can catch him on the Pac-12 Network doing play-by-play work for ESPN as well. You can also hear him here on 95.7 The Game. And speaking of the A's, they lose again, but this time 6-0 to the Angels. And Mike Fiers with just again, it's Lizardo and Montas. Those are your two main guys, but Fiers and Manaea, who have been, you know, Montas kind of, he's been with the team for a little bit, but he had that 80-game suspension, so you didn't see him for a lot of last season. But Fiers and Manaea have not been good this year, and Fiers with another bad outing, giving up 5 earned runs on 7 hits, only going 3 2/3 innings yesterday, giving up 3 home runs, one of which, this is going to get me about the Angels anytime that I watch them now, whether it's the Giants or the A's playing them, but their power guys with Trout, Otani, and Rendon, the amount of power that they generate from their upper body is insane. And Anthony Rendon hitting that ball yesterday, he didn't even move in the batter's box. And he never had. That's always been his kind of swing. He is very compact. It's the same with Trout. He has a stride, but he doesn't really step forward from it. And it's the same with Otani, too. The amount of power that they generate, it's crazy to watch that. But again, Mike Fiers with a not-so-great outing. I don't know if it's between him and Manaea who you'd put as a reliever in the bullpen and, quite frankly, who you'd replace. You wish A.J. Puck could be a starter on this team, but you don't know where he's at right now. But again, they won 9 in a row. Losing 2 straight isn't the worst thing. I don't think A's fans are going to think the sky is falling. So I got kind of mad before I play that interview because the guy on the Chilled Not a Body text line from the 831 just putting notice to any from the 831 actually said Langford, you ever disrespect my Oakland guy, Dame Lillard? I'll go Ramon Laureano on your millennial ass. And I thought that he was saying that because he assumed that I disrespected Dame Lillard in some fashion. But then he responded and said, just putting notice to any hot take sports media pundits about my dude, Dame Lillard. So he was just warning me. He didn't say that I disrespected the guy because I didn't. Watched him yesterday, 61 points in that game against the Mavs. Insane. Insane to watch that. I do want to just play this highlight for you as we got Covey, Lowe, and Coe's coming up here at 6 o'clock. But yesterday we had a historic thing in sports, and it was the first day of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and it was game one between the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Tampa Bay Lightning. And if I'm not mistaken, when they were going to fifth OT, it was the fifth time that happened in NHL playoff history, at least, and I think NHL history. And it was just an insane game. And the Blue Jackets goalie had 85 saves, and it was crazy. Like, watching that, you can appreciate how tiring it is, or you can't really appreciate how tiring it is, because you just don't see games last this long in sports. It lasted nearly 6 hours, but here is that game winner from yesterday.
Keeps it in for Kucherov, right circle shot blocked. Rebound Sergachev, right circle, Kucherov shoots, blocked, point high slot.
Shoot! Score! 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 Braden Point! Braden Point! Braden Point! The Lightning win it! They win it in the fifth overtime! 3-2! And they lead the series 1-0.
That's all he did was turn and fired it from outside the circle.
Braden Point with the game winner. Kind of cool seeing a former Shark Barkley Goodrow on there, kind of celebrating with his team. And it was Jonas Korpisalo. I got to put some respect on the name. Jonas Korpisalo, who is the Blue Jackets goalie. He saved 88. He had 88 saves yesterday. And that one in... That one in fifth OT, you could just feel for him. I do want to go through these time on ice stats, because on average, you might get at most, on average, 25 is the leading. Actually, Kucherov, who's on the Tampa Bay Lightning, he leads the league in average time on ice, which is 25 minutes and 6 seconds. But the time on ice, 39, 37, 43, 50, 42, 48, 45, 42, 48, 65, 61, 41, 40, 45, 46, 48, 57, 53. It's crazy. It's crazy looking at the times for that. I highly recommend you look up the highlights for that game. And it was historic. It really was a historic moment to happen. But my weird schedule of watching sports yesterday, here's how it played out. Wanted to watch that game a little bit, that game one, maybe fall asleep, wake up before 3:30 so I could watch the Blazers and the Mavs, just assuming that the Grizzlies had lost to the Celtics. And then I was going to watch the Giants, and I was going to watch the A's. And all that time, completely forgot that Hard Knocks was on. Did anyone know what was happening? And I don't see what the draw is this year. The first episode could be interesting because you're going to be watching, you know, the COVID testing and the protocols and how it's going to work for players entering training camp. But after two episodes and there's no preseason game to react to, that's what makes it fun, is watching all the meetings and everything going down. I just don't see how this season of Hard Knocks has any draw whatsoever. And Hard Knocks is one of my favorite shows. And I completely forgot that it was even going on. I guess just because all the sports are happening in August and I'm supposed to be getting ready for NFL training camp. Like, this is how it goes. But completely forgot that Hard Knocks was on. Liev Schreiber, when he's narrating, is going to get so bored toward the end of it.
Well, there are no preseason games. Justin Herbert probably not going over to Rod Taylor. We'll find out.
You know, it's like, I don't know what the draw is. But anyway, it was just something I was thinking of on the way in. The big play to happen from last night is not only the Hunter Pence three-run homer, the Ruff RBI single to tie it, the Crawford RBI single to take the lead, but it was Tyler Rogers in the bottom of the 10th, rather, and they had a runner on second,
And it was scary. It was torture. Had a runner on third to start out, and they got the dub.
Got him!
And that's the ball game. How about that? The Giants were done in this game until Hunter Pence hits a pinch hit, three-run home run, and then the bullpen comes through, and for Tyler Rogers, he picks up his first career save.
You might not expect to get them into the playoffs. You might not expect them to do anything this season, but they are watchable. And, man, Tyler Rogers had a breaking ball that really got away from him, and Heineman almost saved the game. From the 650, when did Hard Knocks start? Exactly, last night. No one knows. No one knows, and I don't think that many people care to watch the Rams and the Chargers. I think it's both LA teams this year. Not that much intrigue there. Justin Herbert, Tyrod Taylor, there you go. No Todd Gurley, there you go. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Kozlow and Covey coming up next. Thanks for joining me, everybody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.